last week we were talking about some niches of milking cows on Shabbos, and the basic premise of the Hetter was is that even though the normal circumstances of milking cow would be an issa d'oraisa, most probably the malacha of dosh, other malachos, but if the situation is abel lechayim, so we were able to knock it down to issa d'rabbanan, and then we would permit it. How do you knock it down to issa d'rabbanan? Either through invoking the principle of the real Yaakov, doing it through a non-Jew, or perhaps it's done through chalav ibud, as the Chazanish suggested, that the milk was discarded entirely. So maybe that makes it a derabbanan. So the basic goal of the sugya last week was to take chalav deraisa, to transform it to a derabbanan, and then derabbanan would be mounted based on some kind of tzar. So almost that identical principle is used when it comes to a woman extracting milk as well. In normal circumstances, the baby's healthy, mother's healthy, so the mother is nursing. And sometimes you have a situation that arises where the mother can't nurse, the baby can't nurse, the baby's in the hospital. There are different scenarios that arise, and the mother has to extract the milk, because otherwise it's going to be very painful. So what hekem are available for us? It's the same type of a story. But if we're dealing with the nisa d'oraisa, then we have a problem, because nisa d'oraisa, you can't be mata short of pikuach nefesh, or the real bona fide son of pikuach nefesh. So we have to transform it, either being a derabbanan, and then discuss whether there's enough sufficient size to be matter it, or maybe we can say, well, knock it down, and fat us are all together. So the ozarua, the gedolei harishonim, the palatosis, the ozarua, so I suggest that maybe we can turn chole, in terms of a woman extracting milk manually, maybe we can turn that into at least a derabbanan, perhaps a derabbanan, based on some of the same ideas that we spoke about last week in terms of the animals. The ozarua first suggests that maybe we can help to have to earn malacha in the lagufa. If a person does a malacha, not for the purpose of using that result, but rather to remove it, something that wasn't done in the Mishkan. The Mishkan, the malacha, most of the malachas are done to use the item that you're doing the malacha on. Here I'm trying to get rid of it, trying to remove it, getting away from me. So that would only be an issa d'rabbanan. That's the classic example that the Mishnah gives in Shabbos about the person who's carrying out the dead body, that he's not interested in using the body, wants to remove the body, that's only d'rabbanan. We gave some of the more colorful examples in last Sunday about the person who's punting rather than the person who's place kicking. Maybe that's also considered to be a d'rabbanan, to try to get rid of the ball rather than bring the ball closer to you. Then we... So we've seen this already. Met multiple malachas. If you do things malachas in lagufa, wait, the most we've shown him, the worst it is derabbanan. The problem happens. Hold it. So derayse, but rov we've shown him asking like Rabbi Shimon, that is only the derabbanan. So that's the case. Says there is so what we can pull off almost the same stunt as we did last week with the cows. That if the woman extracts the milk, what she does. And gets rid of the milk, she discards the milk, so that's a malach she'etzir l'gufa. She's only extracting the milk in order to get rid of the pain that's bothering her, because she's facing an infection, so she's in a lot of pain. So she's extracting the milk manually in order to get rid of the milk rather than to use the milk, and then she's going to throw the milk into the garbage. That's a malach she'etzir l'gufa, and that would knock it down towards the rabbanan. And then the malach tsar, we would have a right to be makel. It could be matir, the malach she'etzir l'gufa, and now situations of great tsar, that the Gemara seems to say. Then the other rule says, also similar to what we said last week with the cows, that maybe we can call this chalav ibud, the same way we said by the cows, that if you extract the milk and discard it, it's better than malach she'etzir l'gufa. It's not even called the malach altogether. It doesn't have the whole shem malach has disha on it. So that would be an outright matir. That would be good even according to the view of the Rambam. So it's a combination of these two factors that the Shulchan quotes from the Yozarua, that halacha is mutter, that's how he's asking his man of that. But if a woman has pain and she can't nurse, then she's allowed to extract the milk, provided that she completely discards the milk. To use the milk would be a very, very serious problem. It would be a potential sederaisa. But to discard the milk would be very good. Right, so then the question, the Achronim is the kash, how can a woman nurse? Why is that called Adisha? So there are different answers that are given to that. So some say it's because of Nebuchadnezzar, maybe. And others say that it's maybe doing the malacha, not you doing the malacha. And others say that the cold mouth, that the milk was going directly from the mother's body right into the baby's mouth. So that's called ochel. That's not really called extracting liquid. It doesn't really get a shame. Liquid is just called the food of the baby. And that's like cutting up an apple. Yeah. Different Achronim give opinions with. We have yet to hear anybody ask the nursing on Shabbos. So I didn't say no one will love it. Until now, we have never heard of that. And therefore, we assume that's okay. Obviously, it's a joke about that. Of course, that's what Muntel Chachil, the nurse on Shabbos. But to extract the milk to serve the baby later would be a potential problem. And so this is something that women have to be aware of. Very often women have situations where they have to pump on Shabbos. Even if they're using a manual pump, they're not allowed to, store the milk. It would be a very, very serious potential for Shabbos. According to many, many Rishonim, who cut off the love of the Raisa.
Anyone say to be cholied into a solid? around.
Oh, we'll talk about that. We'll talk about it in a minute, or more than a minute, how that may come up. So this heter that the Poskim developed already, Yazuru, already the Rishonim have from Chaz Le'ibud, so now we have to just fine-tune, what exactly does that mean, Le'ibud? So the Chazon Ish writes as follows, that he thinks that the heter Chaz Le'ibud means, Kishmoytenu, that you have to be cholim directly Le'ibud. Namely that when the milk is extracted from the mother's body, it goes directly into the garbage. What does it mean, directly into the garbage? So either she used the pump and doesn't collect anywhere at all, it just goes rubbish down the drain, that's called Chaz Le'ibud, or most of the pumps have some kind of a receptacle for that, because people use pumps in order to store the milk. People pump during the week, so the milk's going to collect in the clay, in the receptacle. The Chazon Ish says that's a very, very serious problem. So how can you do that? How can you be chol in the place? So the Chazon Ish says the only way to do it is to put something into the bottom of the receptacle that will automatically disqualify the milk. Because if you put a little bit of soap, a little dish soap or something into the bottom of the pump, so then as soon as the milk comes out of the device, comes right into the cup, it never collects in a way that's usable, so it's automatically chol in the ibud. That was a big chumra of the Chazon Ish. If you don't do that, Chazon Ish says the Shabbat and Raisa. In other words, it's not chol in the ibud if the milk collects, even though the milk sample is going to be discarded. So not everybody agreed to this Chazon Ish, but the poskim who questioned this Chazon Ish. Lefini has died. I thought that the Chazon Ish depends on the two reasons that the Yozarva gives. If you go down the route of it's mutter because it's a malachah she'etzuch lagufa, so malachah she'etzuch lagufa is always defined by what your machshava is. So if lemais at the end of the day I'm not going to use this milk, so it might not be to whether for a split second the milk collected, and 5 seconds later I'm going to throw it into the garbage. But if my kavaras advar, my machshava is not all shame collecting the milk. My machshava is okay. I'll shave the ibudas of milk to get rid of it, discard the milk. So then what does it matter whether the milk temporarily collected or not? At the end of the day, my machshava, so mas machshava chilu, whatever machshava was, that's what's kedem. What the mice is called. So according to that shad, it should be okay, even if it's not immediately filled, even if it's only subsequently filled. If you go down the second route of the Yozarua, that's mutter based on this new halachic concept called the claim of Ibun, maybe the Chazon Ish is right. Chol Ibun means, Bishas mice, it's called Chol Ibun. Right now it's not Ibun, right now it's collecting. In 20 minutes now it's going to be Ibun, maybe that's not sufficient. So the Chazon Ish was very, very machmir. This is not everybody agrees to this Chazon Ish. So usually when I tell women, very common shayla, so when I tell women to rely on this Chol Ibun, I tell them, they're able to, they should try the Chachila, put a little bit of stuff. Some women get very weary about it, they get very shaky about putting stuff into the bottom of the pump, they're afraid they're going to forget, they're going to not clean out properly, whatever. Some people get nervous about this. So those who want to rely on the other side, I thought the Chazon Ish should be okay. It's hard for me to argue with the Chazon Ish. I thought that Mikra Din, if the other reason of the Yozarua is also a legitimate reason, the Yozarua presented two legitimate reasons why to be not there. So if you go down the first reason of Malchus and Yilagufa, it was hard for me to understand why it should have to be done immediately at the Ibud. Again, those who follow the Chazon Ish, the Chachila would definitely follow the Chazon Ish, and those who disagree, there are those who disagree.
If it does work with Malchus and Yilagufa, once they say close time to Shabbat, is it okay to do it, or do you say just wait 15 minutes?
Right, but if there's not such a great tzar, right, if there's not such a great tzar, i.e. the woman's not such a great tzar, wait for the bitch to wait, right? Is there any grounds to ever permit the woman to extract the milk, the mamish collect the milk? So here the post can say, the only grounds to permit that would be a malach and deraisa, if that was a chashash, if it was a nefesh. So now it depends on the baby. So there are some babies that will only drink the mother's milk. If you have a baby that's comfortable already drinking formula, it's not going to be a chashash, buch, nefesh. Well, very often the woman has other milk that's stored up from beforehand. So then, why don't you try to avoid doing this? If you have a situation with mamish, chashash, buch, nefesh, where the baby doesn't take formula and the mother doesn't have any other milk, it is the only way the baby's not going to be able to eat for the next 10 hours. So that's already a chashash. If you go to nefesh, a place brayer, then you would have to milk, you would have to nurse, not literally nurse. If you can't nurse for whatever reason, then you would have to just extract the milk. Kid never can finish. And what are you going to do? It's a chashash because nefesh. But unless it's a concern of because nefesh, then one should be more careful about this. There is an added shayla that now a twist on this. There is a rule. I was talking about manual extracting milk. As far as that, most people don't even use the hand pumps anymore. Now most women use the electric pumps. So that has a whole other dimension to the shayla. So how are you going to do that? How are you going to turn on the electricity? So that's a whole other angle of the shayla. So there are some who like to put the pumps on Shabbos clocks. The only problem is that if you put on Shabbos clocks, you need a lot of things, a lot of settings, because she has to usually extract the milk every couple of hours. So it's not always the most practical thing of doing. I take no responsibility for if the pump doesn't work on a Shabbos clock. If it blows up, if it blows up the Shabbos clock, blows up the pump, I'm completely not liable for any damage that happens to your pumps under the... I haven't tried it, so I'm not sure. But there are some women who tell me that they like to put it on the Shabbos clocks. But the best way to do it is if you have a guy doing it, if there's a guy around, so sometimes a woman just called me Friday, that she's in the hospital. So a woman's in the hospital, so then you have nurses around, so they can help you. If you have a guy who's able to press the button for you for the pumping, that's the best thing to do. Then the post can say that if you're ready, even for a hospital, if you already have a guy who's pressing the button for you, so then you can use the milk. Because the whole reason why you can't use the milk is because it's shasha deraisa. Anyway, it's only a merely yapum. So now you want to save the milk. The milk is better for the baby. We all know that, man. The mother's milk is better for the baby than the formula. So that's called the tzarcha chova. So you're allowed to buy a merely yapum for a makom achola. You're allowed to buy a merely yapum for a little baby's needs. So that would be a good idea. Someone should try. If you have it going available, so that would be the best option available. Right. So we assume the shach pas, because that's not really considered to be that's called Messiah in Bamamish. In Dukhla Shabbos, and we generally hold the Messiah as not considered to be a problem. Other areas of Lachim, maybe there's been another Shabbos. So Judah suggested another Eitzah, so I was hemming and hawing whether I would mention this, because it appears a little bit like Abi Chalde, but then it resurfaces in a little bit of a different context. In a later aspect of Malachas Disha. So I'll make a quick reference to it now, we'll probably speak about a lot more later. The Gemara in the end of the Sefer Shabbos comes up with the following eggs. The Gemara says that there's a way potentially to mamash extract milk from the cow on Shabbos from a goat, we were talking about. How is that? The Cholib Amos Eiz L'Socha Kedera. If you bring your pot of food, probably hopefully that can show up, your pot of, I don't know what kind of good food needs some milk on top, but I don't know. Oatmeal, okay, good. So you got your oatmeal, so you have your pot of cold oatmeal on Shabbos morning, and you want to add some milk to it, and you want to get it straight from the goat. Gemara says, Chol Ebal Mosach HaKedera. So you just bring the Kedera under the goat, and you squeeze out the end of the goat, and the milk comes in, and sure, you have some healthy goat milk on your oatmeal for your cold Shabbos kiddush, delicious snack. The Gemara says, that's okay. Gemara says, Chol Ebal Mosach HaKedera. The Gemara says, why is that mutter? The Gemara says, because the Yisur of Disha is to extract a liquid from a salad, but this is not considered to be extracting a liquid from a salad, because since the liquid is going directly into the food, it's not going to collect anywhere, it's going from the goat directly onto the oatmeal, that's what's called the mash kabbalah sech eichel ka eichel dummy, that a liquid that exits an animal and never really collects the liquid, it goes directly into the food, and its purpose is to enhance the taste of the food, so halachically it's considered to be like the food already, it's already a salad, so that's like cutting an apple in half, the Gemara says. That's like cutting a solid food in half. That's okay. But the milk is not called extracting liquid from solid. It's called solid from solid, solid from solid into solid. And that's perfectly okay. That's not considered to be malacha. And the Gemara invokes the principle called, the Gemara says at the beginning, it's called the ofa, the ifras. Ifras means to be cut in half. That's called the ofa, the ifras. That's okay. That's just cutting an apple. It's like cutting a piece of meat, cutting a piece of cheese in half. And that's perfectly okay. I've told over the story the best. We'll review the chazar on the show. It's also good. It was the first Shavuos after we got married. So we invited Rabbi Simon, the Bachar, to talk. We invited him for a yontif meal. So he was very happy to come and join us. And those who know Rabbi Simon, it's very interesting, deep sense of humor. So as he was sitting and eating the meal, at the end of the meal, he wanted to thank my wife. So he thought of a nice pun, and he said he called this Ochla de Ifras. He was very excited. My wife said, "It's a fact." I know that. So he was very excited about that joke in Maseches Beitza about that. It's called the Anyantif. There's a din you'll add Ochla de Ifras. That's the contribution to Hashem Bus meal. Okay. Anyway, so getting back to that story. So the Gemara says, "It's mutter." Great. So next time the woman wants to nurse and she can't nurse the baby, she should bring a goat and she should bring a bowl of she can bring a bowl of oatmeal and do a mashla sa'oichel. So the problem with this is that Rabbi Natan says that this Gemara is not even talking about Shabbos. It's only talking about Yontif. Why is it only talking about Yontif? So a very complicated, convoluted reason why it's only talking about Yontif, which touches more on Bura than it does on Disha. So this part we're going to have to hold off to, okay? So, but I did remember what you said, and the bottom line is probably not going to help. So that's the bottom line. Just as an aside, by the way, this whole discussion about the woman is extracting milk, this is equally true for Yontif. A lot of people think, oh, Yontif is the big deal for Chol Nefesh. So like an intake. I can extract the milk, and that's great. Not so simple at all. That we spoke about in the past, that ochel nefesh, not all malachas are mutter. Many malachas are mutter, but some malachas are not mutter. And one of the malachas that happens not to be mutter on yontif, so that is bisha. You're not allowed to squeeze juices, things like that, on yontif. So therefore, we said, need to be Shabbos, in terms of chol ibud, or like igoy, whatever, whatever that we spoke about, Shabbos, but equally true, there is a very important statement that Chazal have about Cholev, which goes way beyond the Cholev, which touches very, very much on issues relating to Cholev in general on Shabbos. So in case anyone's wives are coming to Shia tomorrow night, you sound intelligent, you might have a conversation with them to Shia tomorrow night, this is the background to everything they're talking about with the women tomorrow night. So tomorrow night I'm going to give them more of the Halacha Maaseh part, give you a little back of the Bumdus part, and then you can sound smart if you want to impress your wives tomorrow night. So the Gemara in Maseches Ksubas, and the Samach quotes a statement from the Tanna Rabbi Marinus. I don't know exactly who Rabbi Marinus was. We don't find them too often in Shas. It's very strange. It's coincidentally, there are two statements of Chazal on Maseches Ksubas and Samach, which are quoted by two somewhat obscure Tanoim. We're not so familiar with. Rabbi Marinus is one of them. And the other one is a Bryce that's quoted in the name of Nochum Ishgalia. So I have no idea who Nochum Ishgalia was. I can tell you where he lived. He lived in France, because Galia was Gaul. That was the old name in the Roman Empire. They used to call France Gaul. So Nochum Ishgalia came from France. So that's pretty far away. So in the days of the Tanoim, we know there were Tanoim who lived in Italy. That was, we know, in Rome. Most of these were Masa ben Choresh. The Gemara speaks about other people, to the Sishromi, there were Tanoim who lived in Rome, that we know for a fact, and France wasn't all that far from Italy. I can't tell you how far into France they lived, but in Gaul there was a Jewish community already in the days of the Tanoim, and Nochum Ishgalia was the author of this particular Braisa. So, we're not talking about his Braisa, we're talking about Marinus' Braisa, but it's just on the same daf, it's just two strange names, and it's the same daf, so it's good to remember. So on the Samach was a Subas, the Gemara quotes from Marinus, a discussion about the following Shabbos. You have a person who's in a lot of the pain, and Rishab describes that just as he's in pain. It's not a cholish yeshiva. He goes to the doctor. The doctor says the only refuah that he can have is he has to drink milk right out of the goat. Not much warm milk right there. It's like those stories about the Chavetz Chaim, you know, the Lashon Hara stories about the goat, the animal, the king, whatever. So this really happens to the person. What do you do when you have to drink the milk directly from the goat Shabbos, what are you going to do? So it's not just to milk the goat and drink the hot milk right away. That's the Siddur Aisah Chayyim, the Siddur Kovnev, you can't do that. The Gemara says what you can do is you can do Mefarak Liachayat. You can do it in an abnormal fashion. Namely, you can literally, strange as it sounds, you can nurse from the goat. There needs to be a mamish in your mouth there, we can do it. That's a shouldn't be away, unless you're a little baby goat. So that's a very unlikely that normal beings drink milk that way. That's not really how you get the milk for your coffee in the morning. So the guy does it in a Meshunatik way. That's called the Mefarak of the Achayad. If a book of Tzadu goes to Rabbah. Because I'll lift the Yisr, because the person is such a sick, such a pain. So Chazal lifted that Yisr, but Mokom Chayyim. That's what the Gemara says. So the Rishonim have a big question. What exactly does that mean? What are the ramifications of that statement? So there is a general statement that appears in a few places in Shabbos and Beitza about what he served the Ravana Chazal lifted the Machom Choli. And Cholish Ein Beisakana. Yesh Beisakana, everything's Mutter. But Cholish Ein Beisakana. So the Gemara says Chazal lifted the Yisr of Amir Liachim. You're allowed to ask a Goy to do all kinds of things for Cholim She'ein Beisakana. Sakana, little babies or some elderly people or other kind of conditions. Guys sick, laying in bed. So you're allowed to ask Goyim to do a lot of stuff to you. Cholish Ein Beisakana is Mutter Ayadei Goy. People in hospital, something. Same person called me the other day, they wanted to know if you're in the hospital over Shabbos, and the father will just stay on the bed, so you have to, until you wait till the nurse comes, so it takes forever. So they want to know, they're allowed to adjust the hospital bed themselves. So I said, as long as, if you have a goy, do it for you, so that's okay, that's the best thing to do. What if you don't have a goy? So you have to learn the sugya of the Sabbath, or the Marinus, have to figure out what potentially assumes they're abundant of mutter. So the Gemara says, the merely afterwards for sure mutter. So, although there was one opinion in Rishayim that says that Huadin, so to all Yisroel Rabbanan HaMotah, for Chalish HaMisogono, most of Rishayim disagree. Most of Rishayim say, no, Amil Yaakov is much more lenient than other Yisroel Rabbanan, because it doesn't have actions, options, it's aimed by mice, it's just words alone. So just because Chazal lifted Amil Yaakov doesn't mean that they lifted other Yisroel Rabbanan. That's what we pass in Shulchan Aruch, that we would not permit just outright Yisroel Rabbanan, just like that, unless you're mamish, stop. Under normal circumstances, we don't like to permit other Yisroel the Rabbanan for a Cholosh and Sikana, but the Rabban writes, the exception to the rule is Kaliach Hayad. If it's done Kaliach Hayad, that's a very, very low level listen. Why is that? Because doing a Kaliach Hayad itself will remind you not to do the Malacha. You know, you already have to plan to do it, and you shouldn't go in a strange way. That in and of itself will serve as a deterrent, and you won't make a mistake, and you won't do Malachas Terai. So that's what the Rabban says in Sefer Teres Adam. That the Rabban wrote a long, long Sefer Teres Adam, anything you ever want to know about life and death and all and everything in between. So in Sefer Teres Adam, he speaks about the part of Cholim and the given Cholim. The Rabban writes, if you have a Cholim, she'ein by Sakana, you're not allowed to do all these Yisroel Rabbanan, but you are allowed to do Miliyah. That's the Gemara. And more important for us, you're allowed to do things Kiliyah Chayat. And the Rabban points that Gemara in the Sefer Ksubas and says, if you're allowed to milk the animal Kiliyah Chayat, you can do other Kiliyah Chayat as well. That's what the Rabban says, and that's what's been very, very hazy, what exactly the Rabban meant. So when the Shulchan Aruch, in Tzimin Shin Kavches, in Chushabas, quotes this Rabban, it says, we pass like the Rabban, so Shulchan Aruch quotes the Rabban by saying, if you want to do an Issa de Rabbanon, Kiliach Hayad, that's okay. That's really a much more chumadic version of what the Rabban apparently said. I thought the Rabban said, if you want to do an Issa de Raisa, as long as you do Kiliach Hayad, so you knock it down to the Rabbanon, that's okay. So Shulchan Aruch quotes a much more strict version of the Rabban, that if you do something which itself is the Rabbanon, and then you add it on and you do it in Kiliach Hayad, then and only then we're going to be making. Do it the Raisa Kiliach Hayad? The Rabban never said. So that's how the Shulchan Aruch quotes, that's what the Mishnah Berurah says, that's what a lot of poskim said. So the Sefer Eglei Tal on Hilchos Shabbos, that was written by the Sefer Shavu Rebbe, the Avnei Nezer. So the Suffet Shover's great grandson was here a couple of months ago. Tina, anyone remember? Anyone went to go get brachas with him? No? He was here. I also went. I went to go talk to Mr. Ptar. So he's a very, 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 very fine person, very, very, very fine. This is my approval, but very, very, very impressed. So we were talking a little bit of learning. So he's a descendant of Baruch Haben from the Eglei Tal. So we're going to have a bath. I don't know what the connection was. And then he confided in Shmuzi a little bit about Zichos, Eglei Tal, and Sefer Shem, Chassidish. And then he said to me, that's not a secret, he said on his mother's side, he's a descendant from the Beis Halevi. So he has some brisket blood in the holster. Okay, I felt more at home than we're going to discuss. So anyway, very, 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 very nice person, very, very fine, very, 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 very fine. So his great-great-great-grandfather has a ha'ara on this Shulchan Aruch, and he says that if you look at the original version of the Ramban, it seems very clear that the Ramban did not say the Shulchan Aruch Chaim Nisim. The Ramban himself says, almost the favors, that you're allowed to do even deraisas, not just derabonis, even deraisas, as long as you do kliachia, that's a built-in mechanism of safety, and you don't have to worry about it. You open up the Ramban, you read the Ramban yourself, the Kulitar Sadam yourself, you'll see the Kulitar is right. How did the Shulchan Aruch miss it? So the answer is Shulchan Aruch didn't have a Teres Adam. He didn't even have a Teres Adam. The Shulchan Aruch is sitting in Tzfat, in a cave in the Tzfat, and writing the Shulchan Aruch. I remember when a couple of years ago, so I went to it's a famous tourist attraction, Tzfat, the Shulchan Aruch's cave. The Mamish where he sat, and he wrote, that's what Shulchan Aruch has written, Mamish in that cave. So I was, for the 15th time I was in Tzfat, and I really had absolutely no interest in listening to the tourist guy tell you about the people who come out dead and, get married and that kind of stuff. So I decided to take a little more of a Litvashit trip to Tzfat. So I went to Shulchan Aruch's cave, and I said, I figured I'd get a little siyat d'shmaya for some learning halacha. But the cave was locked. I couldn't get the cave open. It's fine, you can get anything done, whatever you want. But I sat like the snagged right next to the cave, but I just sat on the Shulchan Aruch. I figured that would be the greatest way to celebrate Tzfat. Probably nobody else thought that, I was the only one doing it, but whatever. So the Shulchan Aruch sitting in Tzfat and trying to figure out the Teres Adam said, fine, he didn't have a Teres Adam. So the Shulchan Aruch is quoting from Rishonim, who are quoting from what they saw in the Teres Adam. Somebody in the last 300 years had read the Teres Adam. So the Shulchan Aruch didn't have an exact quote of Teres Adam. It's like Tal really points us out 500 years later. Baruch Hashem shezachim l'kach, that we have a Teres Adam. We look at it inside, and you see it's like state. Not only says Shulchan Aruch, it says that even there is a day. So now, how does that put us to halacha? So now I have a big machloek, it's gedali for today's generation. What do you do about all this piece of information? So if you open up Shulchan Aruch and you read the Mishnah Berurah and your world ends in 1900, so then you're working with the assumption that you can never be mapped with the rice of the Shina, you can only be mapped with the rabbanon's Ayde Shina, the rice Ayde Shina, forget it. because that's what says Shemra. So the Eglital says no. He says it's not true. If you look in the Ramban, it's not the Mutter. So some Paskim said that the Shulchan Aruch only Paskin like the Ramban because he thought the Ramban was saying such and such. If he would have felt what the Ramban really said, he wouldn't have Paskin that way. Another said, Papa Tom, he said, the Shulchan Aruch said the Ramban's right. And if someone would have told the Shulchan Aruch what the Ramban really said, he would have Paskin like that also. So Yesh V'Yesh. So the Ramban should have Mechleks the Gedoy the Yoyim today. So the Shulchan Aruch Gevchasa quotes from Shlomo Zalman, who was Mechel of the Shulchan Aruch, who says that those who want to rely on the Eglital have a right to do so, it's always a Shasachah. It's always a Choylem. Never look at Chilushah. It's all Shasachak Shailas. So Shlomo Zalman said that those who want to rely on the Eglital have every right to do so, because that is the Emes Lamika, what the Ramban really said, and the Shulchan Aruch would have known, he would have said it also. And therefore, Shlomo Zalman says that Mikra didn't look at Haskin, but Kula the Shailas. I was once discussing this the Shaila with Rav Asher Weiss. It came out, I forgot what the particulars of the Shaila are. And like in passing, I was just like working with that assumption that it's a Chodesh Eves HaKadosh, we're about to rise. And he stopped me and he said, why do you think that we're Mekil on the rise of Mokul Echayash? I'm not going to say that. I said, yeah, but the Eglital says that Bedasa, that's the Ikra Din Bedasa Ramban. So he said to me, but who says that we follow the Eglital? He said, we follow what the Shulchan Aruch says, what the Mishnah Berurah says, we don't follow the Eglital. Okay, and I got a little nervous. I went to go check again the Shemesh, I didn't want to tell the Bashar, I went to go check again the Shemesh Shabbos Gilchasa to make sure I hadn't forgotten it. So he quotes it a footnote, he quotes Rav Shlomo Zalman, says, yeah, we can rely on the Eglital. So I didn't feel so bad. Not so bad. So it's a machlokes. Do we follow what the Ramban probably really said, or do we follow what the Shulchan Aruch says, what the Ramban said? So that's a question that Gedolei Poskim b'zman hazeh. Again, I still don't publicize as much anymore, but I still stick to what I've been telling people, that if a person comes and asks me, and they do something k'liach hayat, so I'll say, well, first of all, if you could do it, the rabbanon k'liach hayat, that's for sure, okay, even according to the mekil, the machmir, but even if push comes to shove, you have to do the rice k'liach hayat, you have a right to be making. The shad comes up all the time. It comes up for kids on nebulizers, it comes up all this kind of stuff. We have to turn on and off equipment for machm cholim. So if you have koim around, that's great. Shomut, it's the best thing to do. But there are no goyim around. It was 3 o'clock in the morning. You can't knock on the door and wake up a guy to go to turn on your equipment. The babies are coughing, whatever it is. So even if it's not, sometimes it can even be chashash of sakana. Even if it's not sakana, so one who is really stuck and has to do with things, yeah, that's the right to do so. And a lot of these devices may not be devices anyway, depending on what they do and how they work. So I think the one has a right to be making, again, it's all shasach of shilas. But it all comes back from chodim. It all started with the milking of the goats. So you have to have a curse atof to the person who's milking the goat using his mouth, doing a kiliach hayad, because of him, so because of Rav Marinus, so he was the one who was the source of all that day that we have this man as well. Allah, Terim, of adjusting the hospital beds with your elbow, and all kinds of kunsim, if you can't get going to do it, so all this is mutter, because again, Rav Marinus, they shinu, so Shom mutter, and pros probably even their eyes, they shinu mutter also. Now we continue along with the malacha of Disha, out of the realm of Cholev, into a very, very practical application of Disha, and that's the issue of the sugi of Tzchitas Peiros. It's a whole sin in Shulchan Aruch, Tzvishin Chaf, about Tzchitas Peiros and Shabbos, about squeezing fruit on Shabbos. The Gemara has a whole discussion in the 27th paragraph of Shabbos about the issue of squeezing fruit. The starting point is that squeezing fruit is a problem. It's a very, very serious problem. And it's under certain circumstances, could be a real malacha d'oraisa. It's the same basic idea as the farai of dash, that I'm putting pressure on something to extract something from A from B. So I'm putting pressure on the fruit to squeeze out the grapes, to get out the juice. So that's a potential malacha d'oraisa. So the Gemara says that not all fruit are the same. There are different diets, different degrees of fruit. There are some fruits that really, really are awesome in the Torah. The Gemara identifies them as Zeis and Yanovim, as olives and grapes. We'll have to see as we go on what's so special about olives and grapes. Then you have what the Gemara calls Tusim Rimonim, berries and pomegranates. We'll have to see as the sugi goes on what's special about that, what the modern day application of that is. And then the Gemara talks about Shah Peiros. Shah Peiros are other kinds of fruits which are neither Zeis and Yanovim nor Tusim Rimonim. And those the Gemara says a mutl chatchila maybe to squeeze. At least at one stage the Gemara says it's mutl chatchila to squeeze these kinds of fruits. Why are these fruits mutl chatchila to squeeze? So the simple reason is because it's very, very abnormal, because no meshugah would ever think of squeezing such fruits. So something which is so out of the realm of normalcy is mutl chatchila, which is a big question. Since when does doing things kaliach hayah make it mutl chatchila? Doing things kaliach hayah generally knocks things down to bring it to Rabbanon. And as a rabbanon, you have to negotiate sometimes, yes, sometimes no. Where do we ever find, you know, for Shabbos, that just because you're doing something funny and strange, it becomes mutlach achila? So the Eglital that comes to the rest of it. And also we have the whole shtick, the whole brisket Torah. That's the basic Levi side of the family. The whole brisket Torah as to why that should be so. But at the end of the day, the Gemara says that's mutlach. The Gemara says, at least at one stage of the Gemara says that shaperis are mutlach. What are some examples of Shapera? So the Gemara gives you one or two examples of Shaperas. The Gemara gives you these words that we not even sure what they are. Very often when the Gemara gives you examples, illustrations of something, so more likely than not, we're not even sure what the example is. So if we're lucky, Rashi will give us an old French word. So if you lived in France in 1100, then you have a fighting chance to know what the word is. But very often that old French word, sometimes it's actually related to an English word, the English word is related to the old French word, it has all the same Latin sources, whatever it is. And well, sometimes in the Metagim, in the back, will give you an old German word in the 1600s. So if you're a German of 1600s, is better than your French of the 1100s, you have a fighting chance. The better chance you have in German is because a lot of the Yiddish words are the same or very similar to the German words, so usually you can make your way through. I remember when I first time I was in Germany, so I was trying to figure out how in the world to get out of the airport. I had absolutely no idea to read any of the signs, but I saw one sign that says Gegang, and I figured Gegangen, that means you're out. I knew that meant exit, something like that. So I followed my intuition, I found myself out of the airport. But so sometimes you get these strange words, and you're trying to figure out what exactly they are. There's a Rashi in Psachim that when the Gemara is talking about the different species of grains, so Rashi says a vina for the we call oats. So how would we have to know what that is? So the Latin word for oats is right is avina, vina, something like that. There's like an oatmeal, an oatmeal bath or something when a kid has a chicken pox. So they tell you avina, yeah. It comes from the same word, vina, avina, whatever. So they tell you the kid has chicken pox. Free dicker diapers in the old days. The kids got chicken pox. So if you give a bath of oatmeal, they stick the oatmeal into the bathtub and you bathe the yogurt, some of that's going to take away some of the sting of chicken pox. So I remember kids got chicken pox. So it was right after Pesach, and I went to the pharmacy to go look around for this oatmeal. And I was wondering, it was a Jewish pharmacy, Pesach Shaila, about that. And I was wondering, what is it? And then all of a sudden I saw it's advertised as Avina. I got so excited. I said, it's right after Rashi and Psochem. He said, Rashi says, oats is Avina, Avina. So at least I know I was buying the right thing. So whether it worked or not, I can't tell you. Anyway, so back to this story. So sometimes Rashi gives you the word, and you have a fighting chance. So here Rashi does give you a word. Rashi gives you a word of Uzruddin. He gives you a word of Uzruddin. Rashi says, I'll tell you what it is. It's a fruit that nobody should go have ever dream of ever squeezing. Rashi says, Mashakorin, Balaz, what we call in old ancient French, Pei Reish Vav Nun Zayin, prunes. 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 He said, prune. I'm sure who would ever squeeze a prune? Who would ever squeeze a prune? There's a $50 million industry called prune juice. So Sunday prune juice, and then this is prune juice. So what does Rashi mean? No one squeezes prunes. So the answer is, in the days of Chazal, nobody squeezes prunes. So in the days of Chazal, you squeeze a prune. You're a Meshuggah. So if you're a Meshuggah, that's not this in the rice, not even this in the Rabbah. So obviously that changes with Manazah. So whenever we deal with things that are Kiliyah, you have to assess it each and every generation. So the din may have been that prunes were mutter 1,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago, but today they're clearly going to be also. So if a person squeezes a prune, makes a prune juice on Shabbos, that's going to be a big problem. So we'll have to take this and see how this goes step by step. So this becomes a very controversial issue with the lemons, about squeezing lemons. It's a fascinating Beis Yosef. We'll talk about this next week. But the Beis Yosef very strangely gives you the recipe to how to make lemonade. Imamish tells you, Nukha Shabbos, he goes over the whole side and tell you how to squeeze it, mix it with sugar, mix it with water. Imamish is like, he's running like a 5 cent lemonade stand. And he says, he tells you, if you want to understand whether you're allowed to make lemonade on Shabbos, he has to go through the steps of how to make lemonade. Imamish refers to Beis Yosef in case you're English. So hopefully that's from next week, we'll talk about the lemons and other fruits and see how this plays out. This year was, I forgot to announce, the beginning of the show was the Gilu Nishmas. I'm sure.